Am I correct in making that statement?
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting subject, the whole Vatican II thing, Dan. You've opened something which never ceases to amaze me with that particular one, and I don't wish to offend anybody of the Catholic faith, but I do find it difficult, the idea that, you know, that the central tenet of the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church, is the concept of redemption of the sin of man through the sacrifice on the cross. And the idea that you can't talk about who actually put him on the cross and why, and who was responsible for the death, according to the biblical narrative, the idea that something which the whole church is predicated on can't be discussed, even according to the biblical narrative, not hearsay, not third-party books, the actual book of God which people are supposed to believe in, another predicate of the church itself. It's the most amazing thing ever that the church has then turned around and said, well, we're going to discount the biblical narrative itself, accepted by all Christians for the last 1920 years. That's no small thing. That's the biblical text.
Yeah.
The oldest one known to man dates around the year 70 to 80, and it has exactly that narrative in it. It's 1920 years old as the New Testament, and it has that narrative in it. And they're saying, we're discounting this. One of the few things that all Christians of all denominations have agreed upon, we're going to discount that. We're not going to discuss this element of our central religious text. Because it might offend the people who killed our Savior. It never ceases to amaze me, Darrell, frankly.
Well, you know, what I said last night, and what I said to Dr. Lorraine Day on the Tuesday broadcast on CII, was that that Islam holds Jesus Christ in the reverence almost equal to Christianity, not quite, but he and his mother are revered as prophets. You don't have saints in Islam, but you do have prophets, and he is a prophet, and his wife, I mean, his mother was also in the highest regard. And what I proffered was that the idea that we need to do is merge our efforts with Islam. Christianity and Islam have to come together and turn on the criminals that are trying to destroy both.
Well, I mean, the commonality that we have in Islam, just opening a theological bracket there, Darrell, we believe, like the Christians do, that Jesus was, peace be upon him, and his mother was sinless, that his mother had a virgin birth, and we believe he is the Messiah. I mean, that he is termed Masih, the Messiah in the Holy Quran. I mean, we have these things that we're enormously close. And obviously, there are a couple of theological things that we disagree on, which are quite important to Christian doctrine. We respect Christians' rights to uphold that doctrine and believe in it, such as the crucifixion, which Muslims don't accept. Therefore, you can understand the incredulity which I'm expressing now, that as Muslims for 1300 plus years, we've respected the Christian right to believe in the crucifixion and the death of Jesus on the cross at the hands of the Jews who called for him to be punished, which the biblical narrative says unequivocally, that they themselves raised this issue. And as we know, Pilate washed his hands of it. He, Pontius Pilate, didn't really want to be involved in this, what he considered to be an internal affair among the Israelite people. So as Muslims, we find it incredible that the Catholic Church has turned its back on this this doctrine.
Well, then maybe what I'm saying is that if we are lucky enough to see Williamson come out and say, look, I will not sacrifice facts and truth for your grace, your good graces within your organization, and if need be, I will stay outside your group, maybe we have to start saying true Catholics need to follow Williamson here and move away from this snake-eyed criminal that's sitting in St. Peter's Basilica.
I certainly think that you know, that one of the problems you've got, you know, with the Pope being the Vicar of Christ on Earth, which is his title, you know, he's basically saying, I'm the successor to Jesus manifest in the world. That's what the Catholics believe, and I don't have a problem with that. If that's what they want to believe, that's up to them. But that he speaks with divine authority. But I suppose what they have to ask themselves is, does that divine authority supersede even the biblical narrative? And that, I think that's the challenge that a sincere Catholic has to ask themselves. You know, is the representative of Jesus in the world allowed to put himself above the words of Jesus and above the words of the biblical narrative? I don't think that Christians really can allow that to happen and still really think they're Christians.
I agree. Shifting gears away from religion for a while here, let's get into finance here, Muhammad, because what I'm seeing here the idea that what I talked about last time. Let's go backwards here. I told Noel on the show that when he was talking about the $900 billion bailout that they're trying to push through right now, and I said, well, you know, not, time value of money says to me that $900 billion is not $900 billion. Just take a look at what Zimbabwe's currency has done since in 20 years. It used to be one Zimbabwe dollar could buy you a loaf of bread, and before they got rid of the currency 2 weeks ago, $1 billion could buy you a loaf of bread. So my point is this, it's all relative to what's value. And $900 billion, with all the printing going on and all of the money nonsense that they pulled off after M3 was gotten rid of, a trillion of nothing is nothing. And the whole system is just predicated on fraud. It's just one big Ponzi scheme shifting value from one ledger to another to try to prop up a system that inevitably will fail. And basically, they're just accelerating that event by printing larger and larger sums. I mean, come on, Muhammad. Think back about last year when they said, oh, $350 billion first tranche, that should care for the problem. And then they gave another $350. Then they gave, you know, I mean, it's been, now they're talking trillions. It's astonishing.
Well, of course, they're moving much nearer to the figures that we gave originally when we tried to hopefully not lose the French Connection audience out there. When we took them through the very difficult concepts behind the regulatory capital issues.
Yes.
And we said to people that the upshot of all that we were explaining last year, Dal, about this time last year, in fact, was that the implications are that actually several trillions have been wiped out.
Yeah.
And the numbers that they're getting into today are of the magnitude that we were explaining to people a year ago. So, you know, when people were talking, there's of tens of billions here and tens of billions there, and listeners to the French Connection, we're hearing these two crazy guys, Mohammed and Daryl, saying, well, we reckon there's between 4 and 8 trillion being wiped out. And they're saying, what on earth? These guys must be on, you know, some serious medication to arrive at those kinds of numbers, because nobody else in the world is using anything of that magnitude. Well, everybody is now, Daryl, and we told people a year ago, because we understood what the issues were.
Yep.
And we understood what the lies were. The fact that they were talking in the tens of billions, and to start with, we need $50 billion to cover this, and $25 billion for Northern Rock, and so on and so on. And as you say, Dal, about the summer of last year, they were in the hundreds of billions. You know, $100 billion here, $200 there. Then it went 700. Then it went 8, and now we're at 9. And some people are saying it really needs to be 1.4 trillion. Of course, if they need 1.4 trillion, we just need to get hold of Dov Zakheim's phone number, because I believe he's still holding that amount of cash.
Oh, yeah, he's holding $2.3 trillion from what I understand. I mean, come on, you know, look, Muhammad, what's happening here is something, you know, interesting that they were still writing off balance sheet derivative contracts, even up until these last few months here, taking old debt as much as they could off balance sheet and rewriting it out into the future and trying to tie that into hold me over, hold you over kind of relationships with these instruments. Now we've got over $1 trillion plus in these, I mean, what is it, a quadrillion they're talking about plus derivatives outstanding. I mean, come on, what is a quadrillion? I had a math background. That's numbers that nobody works with. Fact of the matter is that we're in a situation now where they're basically just managing the end, is what I say. There's just the end is within anybody's sight as long as you look in the right place, and they're just managing the end is what I see. What do you see?
The tragedy is, Darryl, as you say, they have a potential end in sight, and mismanagement or management, the end is there. This is the train crash we were discussing that went off the rails in slow motion. Wisdom, as we tried to explain a year ago, was let the financial institutions collapse, leave the real money in the real economy. That was the advice from the French Connection. That was our advice to the leaders of the financial world as to how to manage this mess based on the insights and understanding that we had. We were hoping for far too much, really, that people would give us credibility, Darryl, in spite of our understanding of the situation. They did the opposite of what we said. They took real money from the real economy and threw it into the Disneyland world of financial numbers. We now have still the slow train crash going on in the Disneyland because the numbers are so big that, you know, there's no pair of red shoes and you find yourself back home over the rainbow. It's just not going to happen. That train crash can't be stopped. In the meantime, they took real money from the real economy, and we are now, ladies and gentlemen, looking at the damage today. 598,000 jobs lost last month. 524,000 jobs went the month before. All of this is 100% unequivocally occurring because real money was taken out of the real economy.
That's right.
And that money's not there now.
That's right.
And those jobs can no longer be supported because the money in the real economy isn't there to maintain that level of economic activity any longer.
Well, I've got a bad one for you coming up here, and this is going to affect every person in every household in the world, in the Western world. 7 out of 10 of the foreclosures in the United States, and I would guess that that's the same figure in Britain and in France, that have been repossessed by the banks have not been put back out onto the market. Now, what does that mean? All of the foreclosures we've had tens of thousands, I would say 80 or 90,000 foreclosures gone through successfully in the last 18 months in the United States, people losing their homes. 7 out of 10 of those homes that were repossessed have not been placed on the market for resale. Now, the question that needs to be asked, why wouldn't they put them back on the market? Well, the excuses being given are that it's just such a flood of houses, they can't get them organized to be put on the market for resale. Simple fact of the matter is that when they took these houses back, they placed them on their balance sheet as an asset that they're holding, and they put the asset on the book value that they claim. Now, the claim being made is whatever the value of their loan in that marketplace is. So let's say the house sold for $250,000 in its original market. They're going to put it on their balance sheet as holding $250,000 asset. When anybody with a brain knows that if they really release these 7 out of 10 houses, which they're ultimately going to have to do, the price would probably sell for half that. That would mean immediately whatever they were claiming is only half as valuable as what they're saying, which would immediately throw all of their books and their ledgers and their credit ratios into a free fall. They're not ready to admit that yet. The second thing that will happen is anybody in a neighborhood who sees the crash of the housing costs prices, they're going to walk away from their homes. Anybody with a brain who says, look, I've got a house here worth 300,000 pounds, and all of a sudden, within a few months, the house is worth 150, but you're still paying on a mortgage that says 300. You're going to go, here, here's the keys. I'm done with you. I'm going back to live with Mom. Take the house. I can't be financing a mortgage of a house for $300,000 that's only worth $150. So there are all kinds of reasons why they're not reporting this, but this is another shoe to drop on top of the commercial real estate market, on top of another tranche of derivative failures and bond market demands for payment. We've got all kinds of problems happening just on the immediate horizon, Muhammad. You want to talk about any or all of those subjects?
Well, of course, Darrell, you are completely correct. You've hit the nail on the head, as we say. They can't put those properties out on the market because depressing the price is another vicious cycle, catch-22. It lowers the price, which lowers the amount that the bank's got on its balance sheet, which means that they've got to put some more out there, which in turn, it's the same concept of dilution. For people who are aware of how share prices get diluted, what you're doing is diluting the asset values on your own balance sheet by putting them out there.
Yes.
And of course that means that there's a totally artificial property market, and I'm sorry to say the same thing here in the UK as well, Dal, not just stateside.
Yes.
Very frightening from my perspective for maybe potential first-time buyers who are looking at this and saying, well, there seems to be a lot of bad data on the TV and in the papers, but actually the property markets don't look that bad, and, you know, I think I am, you know, I'm going to try being a first-time buyer because simply getting onto the market right now, you know, at some point now these corrections, as they like to call them, will occur, and anybody getting on as a first-time buyer now is going to be saddling themselves up to something which will go negative equity very quickly.
Very quickly.
Within 12 months.
And then what, you talked recently with me privately, and we've discussed on air about the high streets vacancy rates and the malls in your area of Britain, and of course the malls across America and Canada and here in France even. A lot of shuttered storefronts, a lot of companies going bankrupt. You know, we had almost 1,000 closures of Woolworths alone in Britain. High streets across Britain and the United States are seeing vacancies. The next big shoe to drop, I think, in what people will see in their daily lives, as they drive to work, as they drive home, are for rent signs or for sale signs or for liquidation signs just proliferating at a rate that they've never seen in their entire lives. In fact, it'll never have been equaled in any period in human history, because we didn't have this system back in the 1930s when we had the last major depression. And that commercial real estate market is ready to just blow up in ways that people can't even put their brain into. And that's just another, that's the other shoe to go. Once that happens, on top of the rest of these things coming due, Muhammad, it's the game over. And I've been saying that with you for a long time. I think game over. What do you think?
We are certainly much nearer than we were. And the fact that we're seeing damage in the real economy now. When we were talking last year, 12 months ago on this subject, and we were saying, intervention of this mechanism is going to cause damage in the real economy. Well, the real damage is here. And the sad thing is we have to tell people that, you know, without the correct types of intervention, we will not be able to preserve what's there. And without the correct types of planning, we won't be able to repair what's there. And I suppose the $64 million question, the question that nobody really wants to ask, but we've been raising it all the way down the line on the French Connection, is, are these people capable of delivering those types of interventions and that type of planning? Well, the proof of the pudding, Darrell, is always in the eating.
Yep.
They have 12 months further on got us in a far worse situation than we were in 12 months ago. That means they don't understand the problem, and they can't come up with intervention.
Well, can you wrap your brain around the possibility that there is absolutely no intention of fixing this, and that in fact what they are working toward is the implosion, and what they are in fact attempting to do now is to just get this whole thing dominoing across the globe and terraforming, if you will, reforming the world to their own needs and their own interests. It seems to me that and there's an awful lot of upper middle and even lower rich class people who are taking it on the chin and being sent into poverty in some instances. They've sold out a lot of the people that used to support them, and what we're being left with here is just a top-down system. I mean, people are going to be looking around for food soon, Mohammed, in my view.
Well, of course, those people that have been sold out have suddenly discovered that they were useful idiots.
Yep.
And that they were on the payroll because they served a particular purpose. Now that purpose is no longer required, neither are they, and neither is their lifestyle, you know. This is the kind of people that they chose to keep company of, and one can't have any sympathy there at all, I'm afraid. When it comes down to are they jumping in, well, there are very few people who understand the problem. I think what I was alluding to there, Dal, was the politicians, because people are looking at Obama as a man who's going to come in and save the states. And the fact of the matter is, you know, that if he or the people on his finance team don't understand what they're looking at, then they're on a hiding to nothing, and so sadly are the people who'd like to be saved, and I'm sure everybody ultimately would like to be saved from what's going on. Nobody really is enjoying this, but the fact of the matter is that they're not capable. And then we have the other Machiavellian question that you've raised, Adal, which is that are some of these advisors fully compass mentis of the problem and giving them the runaround? Well, the answer to that is obviously yes. There are a small clique of people at the top who do understand what's going on, and when they're being asked what can resolve this, they're not giving the right answer. And that's because it's no longer in their personal interests to see the problems resolved.
Well, I'm looking around thinking, you know, my last broadcast, according to people that I trust, made it to 2 million listeners, and there are people out there working diligently to get that number up to a number that will stagger the minds of many, and we could turn into one of the preeminent voices for the truth in the world if given the right assistance, Mohammed. What is it you see that people can do to get this French Connection idea out there? And again, me being the spokesperson for these facts is nothing. I am nothing more than that. I am not a lily white character in this battle. I'm basically a guy who has put it out there, been willing to risk life and limb, financial ruin, injury, jailing, whatever it takes, because I just couldn't live with myself if I didn't. And the information we've dug up is absolutely spot on. It goes beyond anybody's ability to argue with it. And I'm hoping that people can take this and run with it, anywhere they need to go with it. I mean, we need to put this thing out into the world and get tens of millions following it. Well, what do you say?
Oh, I agree, Daryl. And also, when people are just looking around the net, you know, putting those comments in, putting links in even, you know,
yep.
If people really do out there in Virginia or whatever understand that what they're looking at is the truth on this site, then they should email it out to a few people. You know, if you own a spam database, we shouldn't encourage spamming, but, you know, why not? The bottom line is that it needs to find a way of spreading sideways now, because we've got the depth there. we've got a depth of understanding, as we've said a long time ago, a very well-educated following at the French Connection, and it's good to be in such company. But what we need to do now is to spread the net a bit wider and to try and help other people come through that process, engage them in debate, put comments on blogs, maybe go looking for newspaper articles to put the comments on. Look for places where people are themselves expressing an interest, even if it's just their first sort of toe in the water. Go out there, look for people like that, and try and encourage them.
Well, I appreciate your take on all the issues we've discussed tonight. I know you've been busy with a lot of personal issues over there, and you've had major snowstorms hitting, and it's just been one complication after another. And I know you're recovering from a flu, and you know, everybody seems to be getting sick around me over here. Everybody's got something, but stay with the fight, Muhammad. And you know, we're I'm in this for the long haul. I hope I can call on you when I need you to keep you know, giving these kinds of messages out to the world. We did a 1 hour bit tonight, and this is going to be put up by tomorrow. If my webmastering skills have reached the level of doing that, but I appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and thank you for the opportunity, Daniel.
Ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad Rafiq from outside of London, doing his best to share these facts with everyone. You know, this is an ongoing battle. I invite people on, like Muhammad and others, just to keep the work current, to keep the interest alive, and to let you all know that the fight is far from won. In fact, we are going to have to see darker days before we see the light. So don't give up. Keep taking care of the issues that you need to within your families. Love your families. Be kind to them. Share with them these facts. Share them with your neighbors. Start working at a networking, organizational skills that go out there and get people together with you. We got to fight these people. Till the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you all, please take care of yourselves and your families, and be well.